Okay, good morning. This is very exciting because we're starting Saber Small. And give just a very, very brief introduction and then we'll jump right into the Psukim. So, just one thing to keep in mind or to just question is what immediately precedes Saber Small? What events? We learned Shoftim, we got to the end. And Sefer Shoftim concluded with two interrelated stories, the story of Pesel Micha, of the idol of Micha, followed by the story of the Pilagish Giva, the concubine of Giva, and the civil war with Sheva Binyamin. So we discussed that many Mefarshim, the Seder Olam, which is Chazal, assume that actually Pesel Micha and Pilagish Begiva were not the concluding events of Sefer Shoftim. They actually happened way back at the beginning when the Jewish people first entered the land of Israel, in which case it would seem that the concluding events of Sefer Shoftim are the story of Shimshon fighting against the Plishtim. That would have been the last great event of Sefer Shoftim. However, there are others that assume that indeed the Pilagish Begiva was the last story of Sefer Shoftim. There's a Gemara that definitely seems to imply that, because the Gemara says that Shaul HaMelech.
Here they go, burning.
I can't do it. I think we're turning into a yelling.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So there is a Gemara that seems to say that Shaul was one of the people from Binyamin that was involved in that last story where there were 600 men remaining from Binyamin, and they had to find wives for them. That was the concluding story of Sefer Shoftim, which would imply that that actually happened at the end of Sefer Shoftim, because we're going to meet Shaul very soon in Sefer Shmuel. So we have these two possibilities, and they're going to, crop up here and there, so we'll just have to keep them in mind. The second point that I just want to mention is that there's Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, right? So, but it seems that really it's one big Sefer Shmuel that just got divided up by someone at some
Christian
point. Christian printers?
Yeah, Bomberg.
The Gemara says in Baba Basra that that the order of Navi is Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Yeshaya, and it seems that the Gemara implies that Shmuel is one book. It also says there that Shmuel Kasaf Sifro. Shmuel wrote his own Sefer. Shmuel wrote Sefer Shmuel. However, within Sefer Shmuel it says who Shmuel made, that Shmuel died, and so the Gemara says that Nasan HaNavi finished it off. Shmuel started it, but Nasan HaNavi finished it off. Now, what was I going to say? Shmuel wrote it. Yeah, Shmuel also wrote Sefer Shoftim, and he divided it up for some reason, right? There seems to be that some reason that this was the dividing point between basically himself and the previous Shoftim. So actually the very first Rashi in Sefer Shoftim, he says that everything here is in order. And he quotes basically the first Mishnah in Avos that Moshe Masar as a Torah Yoshua, Rashi says. Moshe transferred the Torah, right? Moshe received the Torah from Sinai and he gave it over to Yoshua. And Yehoshua gave it over to the Zekanim, to the elders. And then Rashi says, and each Shofate transferred it to the next Shofate until it reached Eli, and from him to Shmuel, as we learn in the first Mishnah and Avos. And it seems what Rashi is trying to say is that as the Mishnah says, Moshe kibal Torah miSinai. He gave it to Yoshua. Yoshua was the Canaan, and the Canaan was the Nevi'im. And those seem to be these different Sfarim, that there's Torah, Moshe, then he gave it to Yoshua, you have Sefer Yoshua. Then he gave it to the Zakanim, that Sefer Shoftim, or the Zakanim, and the Zakanim to the Nevi'im, that's Shmuel HaNavi. And even though many of the Shoftim were also Nevi'im, but there seems to be some sort of change going on between the Shoftim and Shmuel HaNavi, that we're calling them Zakanim and calling Shmuel HaNavi Nevi'im. Now what we will see later is once sort of right around where we're introduced to Shaul, is that Shmuel HaNavi is going to write in Sefer Shmuel, he's going to say, up till now they called Nevi'im Rowan, like a Roah, seer. And from now on, people started calling them Nevi'im, a Navi. So during Sefer Shmuel, during his lifetime, this transformation occurs where prophets are no longer called Rowan, but rather they are called Shoftim. Nevi'im. And when we get there, we'll try to understand why that is, what that means, what that changes, but that's also part of this, you know, it seems shift, the division of Sefer Shoftim from Sefer Shmuel, because of that change. Now, the main difference between Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel is that in Sefer Shmuel begins the period of monarchy in Israel. Shaul HaMelech will be anointed. The only question is, why? What about Shmuel and Eli HaKohen, who we were going to discuss at the beginning? They could really be in Sefer Shoftim, because they're not kings. But simply understood, it's because Shmuel was really the bridge between the Shoftim and the king and the monarch. He was the one who was going to anoint both Shaul and King David, David HaMelech. And as the bridge, it's already the shift going on from the judges period, the Shoftim, to the period of kings, of Melachim, and Sefer Shmuel is really that bridge, that segue. The Barbanel mentions also that because of the great chashivah, the importance, the greatness of Shmuel and David HaMelech, who accounts for most of Sefer Shmuel, that's why they got their own Sefer, because of their, you know, heads above greatness over many of the other Shoftim and Melachim, their great spiritual stature, so they got their own Sefer. Fine. So that's for now. We'll leave that as our introduction. And now let's see the first pasuk. Vayhi ish echad min haramasayim. And there was one man from haramasayim sofim. From this place, ramasayim sofim, which we'll talk about what that is, mehar Ephraim, from the mountain of Ephraim. Ushmo Elkana ben Yerocham ben Elihu ben Tochu ben Suf Ephrathi. And his name was Elkana, the son of Yerocham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tochu, the son of Suf Ephrathi. An Ephrathi, whatever that is. So, what is this place, Ramasayim Tochu? So, there's a Gemara, and the first one here quote it. But the Gemara, very interesting Gemara, very important Gemara. The Gemara there is discussing, it's in Megillah, Daf Yadala, the Gemara is discussing Nevi'im in general, prophets. And the Gemara makes a statement that there were 48 Nevi'im, there were 48 prophets. So the Gemara has a question on that. What do you mean there were only 48? Bisu Lekka, there weren't more. What about our Pasuk Aleph, Sefer Shmuel? And there was one man from Ramasayim Sofim. And Chazal say, what's Ramasayim Tzofim? Echad mi Masayim Tzofim, Shnisnabu Lahem Yisrael. He was one of 200 Tzofim. To be Tzofim could be like to see, to gaze. One of 200 gazers who prophesied for Israel. And there's a drasha here of Ramasayim, can be somehow related to the word Masayim, 200. So, Ramasayim Tzofim, the 200, the Masayim Tzofim, the 200 prophets. So the Gemara is bothered. How come we're saying there's only 48? What about our pasuk where we darshan that there were actually 200 Tzofim, 200 prophets? So, the Gemara answers in, you're right. Really, there were many more than just 48. As it says in a Brisa, the Kedetanya, Harbin Nevi'im Nisnabu Emily Israel. Many, there are in fact many, many Nevi'im who prophesied for Israel. Kiflayim Piyotim Israel, double the amount of people who went out of Egypt. Right? Over a million Nevi'im in the course of our history. So why does it say there were only 48? The Nevuah that was prophecies that were necessary for generations, for future generations, those were written down. But if they weren't necessary for future generations, then they were not written down.
You think that's an exaggeration? 1.2 million? It seems like a lot.
It seems like a lot. I don't know. It may be an exaggeration. But really only 48 were necessary for future generations. Now, okay, fine. So 48 were necessary. There were many, many more than that. It seems, though, at least that there were many, many more than 200. So what's this drasha here that this Isha Echad, this one man, Elkanah, was one of 200 Nevi'im? What's 200? Where does the word, they're either 48, you know, because there were 48 that mattered, they all mattered, but there were 48 that were needed for future generations, but there were apparently thousands and thousands of Nevi'im altogether. So why does it say 200? The Marsha says that in that generation there were 200. In that generation there were 200 Nevi'im. And Elkanah was one of 200 of his generation. Now, the Rashi over here, by the way, on the words that when he says that there were only 48 that were needed for future generations, so Rashi says they were needed for future generations. Will molding them to tshuva hora, to learn from them either tshuva, repentance, return, or hora, or guidance in halacha. So Rashi then goes on to list, based on the Seder Olam, who the 48 were. And it's noteworthy that on the list is Elkanah. Elkanah was indeed one of the 48. The question of the Gemara was, you know, how are you saying there's only 48? Here we say that he was one of 200. Is it 48 or 200? We say that only 48 were needed for generations. But it's noteworthy that Elkanah was one of those 48 that were needed for future generations. Now, I want to just read two more psukim, and then we'll go back over them. But I just want to read pasuk gimel, really. So let's read pasuk beis, just to go in order. Velo shtei nashim, and in verse 2, and to him were two wives. Shem achas Chana, one was named Chana, the shem ashen is Penina, and the name of the second one was Penina. Vayehi lefnina yeladim, and Penina had children, ulechana ein yeladim, and unto Chana were no children. We'll come back to this pasuk, let's keep going. Ve'Allah ha'isha hu me'iro miyamim yamimah, and this man would go up from his city, miyamim yamimah, either, we'll see, it means either every once a year, or all of the Shalosh Regalim. L'istach avot, to bow, the l'ispoach la'ashem tzivakot, the shilo, and to bring karbanos to Hashem in shilo, which is where the Mishkan was. V'sham shnei v'nei Eli, and there were the two sons of Eli, Chofni u'Pinchas, Chofni and Pinchas, Kohanim la'ashem, they were Kohanim to Hashem. They were the Kohanim working in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll find out more about them later. Now, so Elkanah would go up every year to the, at least once a year, maybe three times a year, to the Mishkan. There's a beautiful medrash about this. Rashi quotes it. Well, just read the original. So it's a Yaakov Shimoni. The Yaakov Shimoni says, Elkanah and his wife and his children and his daughter and his sisters and all of his relatives would come with him for the regal, for the Shalosh Regal, to the Mishkan. And on their way, Ubayim Belon and Berchovo Shalir, on the way, they would sleep in the streets of the towns that they went through. The Haisa Medina Margeshis, and people will realize there's this whole big family camped out in the middle in the town square. And they would ask them, where are you going? And they would say, the Beis Hashem b'Shiloh, we're going to the house of Hashem in Shiloh. That's the source of Torah and Mitzvot. That's where the Mishkan is. Why don't you come with us and we'll go together? Immediately, the people would begin to cry. They remember that they used to go before they strayed, before they became complacent and stopped attending the Shalosh Regalim. They would start to cry and they would say, can we go with you? And they would say, yes, you could come with us. One year, five houses joined them, five families. The next year was a greater amount of people going, 10 houses came with them. Until eventually everybody was going up for the regel to the Mishkan. Continues the Medrash, and the way, B'derech Shahaya Ola Shanazu, on the road that Elkanah would take one year, Rohaya Olashana Cheres, he wouldn't go up, he wouldn't go the next year. Because he would go a different way deliberately in order to meet new people on the way and be Makari them and bring them with him up to the Beis HaMikdash, up to the Mishkan every year for the Regal. It could be. I think there are those who make that connection. I saw something making that connection. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Elkanah, you brought Yisrael to the side of merit, you were mechanech them, you taught them mitzvot, you were makariv them, and you were mezakeh the rabbin, you made the public meritorious, you brought mitzvot to them. So in that zechus, I'm going to give you a son who's also going to be mezakeh, give merit to Israel and teach them mitzvot. I'm going to give you the son, Shmuel HaNavi, who's going to be the leader of Kali Yisrael.
According to this version, he was successful in getting him to come with him.
Yeah, Elkanah was very successful according to this medrash. And a kirov done in mass proportions. He was basically makariv all of Israel, it says, the Medrash says. To come up, people were slacking, they weren't coming up to the Olu Regel, and he got everyone on board. Beautiful Medrash. The Chavetz Chaim, based on this Medrash, based on this idea, answers a question that was posed to him. Following question. We know there's a halacha that for the Ir Miklat, for the city of refuge, where a person who murders someone by accident, he has to run to an Ir Miklat, he has to run to a city of refuge, otherwise the family of the murdered person is allowed to take retribution and kill him. So the halacha is, the pasuk says, that you have to, tachin l'cha aderech, you have to show him the way. You're supposed to put up signs to direct a person to the Ir Mikvah. So the Chavetz Chaim asks, why don't we have such a halacha about Yerushalayim, of being Olah L'Regel? Why don't we have a halacha that there should be signs to guide people up to Yerushalayim for how to get to Yerushalayim to be Olah L'Regel? So the Chavetz Chaim said that this guy, you know, who accidentally murdered, right? So what kind of guy accidentally murdered? So it's usually someone who's not so careful. It could happen that, you know, someone was careful, but generally someone who's a little bit negligent and you know, doesn't check their axe before they swing it, and that's the person who ends up killing by accident and has to run to the city of refuge. That's not a fine person of fine character. We want him, when he's on the road, we don't want him meeting anyone, we don't want him stopping to ask for directions and getting to know everyone. He's not a good hashpa, he's not a good influence on people. So we put up signs so that he knows exactly where to go, he doesn't have to stop to meet anyone, he doesn't have to stop for directions, and he'll go straight to the city of refuge where he'll stay until the Kohen Gadol dies when he gets to leave. On the other hand, somebody is seeing Olah L'Regel, someone is going up to the Shalosh Regalim, so he's on his way to do a mitzvah. So if he's not exactly sure how to get there, so he'll stop to ask for directions, he'll say, how do you get to Yerushalayim? They'll say, oh, why are you going to Yerushalayim? He'll say, oh, well, it's going to be the Shalosh Regalim. Oh, maybe we should go too. So that's, you know, then everybody finds out about it, he meets people, he's a mashpia, he influences them, he's makarev them, and then everybody goes up to Yerushalayim. And that's this idea of Elkanah also going a different way every year in order to meet new people and bring them up with him to Yerushalayim. So now they're coming back to our first pasuk of Ramasayim Sofet. So there was this man, Elkanah, he was from Ramasayim Sofen. So I mentioned the first shot of the Gemara. The first shot was that he was one of 200 Sofen, one of 200 gazers, 200 seers, one of 200 Nevi'im of his generation. The Gemara has another shot in what Ramasayim Sofen means. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar, Adam haba mishtei ramos yatofos v'roz yuazu. He was a man from two ramos, two high places, two hills, two mountains that looked that gazed at each other. Which is a quote in many of the Mefarshim on the Navi, that it was basically a place that had a valley in between, and there was two, you know, Ramat, we have now Ramat Shlomo, Ramat, all these, you know, Ramat Eshkol, all these places in Yerushalayim. Ramat means a hill or a mountain, a height, really, height. What? Givat Shmuel would be a valley.
Oh, it's a valley?
I think, but a giva with an ayin, I think, is a valley. Gavot are also hills. Gavot is also a hill. Well, gavoa means high. You're right. Giva is also a hill. Karim is both. Amek is a valley. You're right. Yeah, giva is also a hill. But Ramat means height. So Ramasayim Sofim, the two heights that gazed on each other were these like twin cities, twin towns that looked across at each other. That's the second shot of the Gemara. And the Chasam Sofer says over here, maybe had a different version in the Gemara, because the way he quotes the Gemara is that he quotes this opinion, that it was these two ramos, these two high mountains that gazed on each other, and then he quotes the second opinion, Mimasayim Sofim Amdu Mimishbachto, of 200 seers that were from his family. He seems to understand that seems to understand that the number 200, this may just be the answer to the Maharsha's question, right? What's 200? We said there were thousands and thousands of Nevi'im. There were 48 that mattered, that their prophecy was important for future generations. What's 200? The Maharsha said there were 200 of that generation. The Sam Sofer seems to be saying there were 200 from his family, from his lineage, Shmuel's lineage, which, by the way, he's a descendant of Korah. He says that there were 200 Nevi'im from Moshe Rabbeinu until Elkanah. 200 Nevi'im up until this time, I'm not sure if he means specifically of this family or in general, but then he says an amazing idea. He says that they were also Tzofim Zalzeh. Just, they also were gazing at each other, just like in the Gemara's answer that Ramasayim Tzofim, two heights that gazed on each other, these two cities that gazed on each other because they were able to see each other across the valley. Also in the pshat that they were Tzofim, that Tzofim means Nevi'im, that there were 200 Nevi'im, the Sam Sofer says it's also 200 Nevi'im Tzofim Zalzeh that were just staring at each other. What does he mean? They weren't looking at, these 200 Nevi'im weren't looking at Klal Yisrael. They were just looking at each other. They weren't paying attention to Klal Yisrael. They weren't guiding the people, the generation. Elkanah was one of 200. He was Echad. There was one man of the 200 that were just gazing at each other, and his name was Elkanah, and he came forward and he made a difference. He didn't just look, he didn't just stare at each other like the other Nevi'im, but rather he stepped forward and he reached out and he was Makariv and he influenced and like the Medrash says, he brought all these people back into the fold, into the midst of Aliyah L'Regel.
They were staring at each other. They had an exclusive club that said, Balabatim Aleh.
I think it just means, right, they were looking at each other, they were involved with each other, they weren't really looking at the needs of the people. Beautiful, beautiful Kassam Sofer fits very beautifully into that magic. So Elkanah was a very illustrious, very chashuv individual, a navi, and very successful in his kiruv, in his outreach as well. Now I mentioned that Elkanah, the last shot in the Gemara, by the way, is that he was Ish Echad Haba Mi Bnei Adam Sha'omdin Berumo Shel Olam. He was a descendant of those who stand Berumo Shel Olam in the heights of the world. What does that mean? Who were they? Who stands in the heights of the world? Says the Gemara, Bnei Korach, the sons of Korach. As the Pasuk says, Bnei Korach lo mesu, the sons of Korach dig inside, Pasuk says. So what happened to them? Didn't they fall into the pit with Korach? How could they have not died? So the Gemara says, Makom nitzbatzer lahem begehenem ve'amdu olam. There was a place that appeared for them in Gehenem, and they stood on it. Now, whatever this means exactly, but they had a resting place on the height. They didn't fall into Gehenem. They landed on a landing pad, you know, in the pit, a ledge. And that's Rumo Shalom, that's the heights of the world. Elkanah was a descendant of Korach's son, the descendant of Korach. Shmuel HaNavi was a descendant of Korach. We may talk about more another time. Parshas Korach is coming up, so we'll have a chance to talk about it then. So it says that he was a descendant of the B'nai Korah. So he was a Levi. That's important also to know. Elkanah was a Levi. Shmuel Hanavi was a Levi. Which really begs the question then, what does this mean at the end of the pasuk, Ephrathim? It says he, which seems to mean that he was from Ephraim. Bentofu Bentof Ephrathim. Sounds like he was from Ephraim. So, some of the Farshim say, it doesn't mean he was from Ephraim. It means that he was from Har Ephraim. As it's already said in the Pasuk, that he was Mehar Ephraim. He came from Har Ephraim, the mountain of Ephraim. And that's what it means at the end of the Pasuk, that he was Ephrasi, he was from Ephraim. Now then, why does it need to say it twice? They already said that he was from Har Ephraim. So the Radak says that here it's not talking about him, it's talking about his lineage. That he was the son of Yerocham, the son of Eliub, Ben Tofu, Ben Suf, Ephrasi, all from Har Ephraim, that they had a long line of people living in Har Ephraim. The Targum Yonasan learns that Ephrasi actually just means like a great person. So the Targum also says that he was from Har Ephraim. Rashi says that it means, based on our Gemara, that it could mean like Adam Chasher, the word from the word Apirion, which is like could mean like Chashivus. So it just means that he was an Adam Chasher. Okay, let's keep moving. Pasuk Beis, Velo Shei Nashim, and he had two wives. Shem Achas Chana, v'shem Ashenis Penina. The name of the first one was Chana, and the name of the second one was Penina. Vayihi v'Penina Yiladim, and Penina had children. U'v'Chana in Yiladim, and Chana did not have children. So the Malbim here points out that Shem Achas, really it's a, I'll start with the Medrash. The Medrash says, Amr Biona, Kivan Tirasa Chana Shalo Yalda, when Chana saw that she wasn't having children, Amr Loshi Yachnis Tarasi B'Sof Seishi, I'll tell him to bring in my Tara, bring in another wife, Mitoch Kach Yira Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Yishko Dosi, and as a result, he'll have children from her, and he'll have children from me. The same way that Rachel Mimenu, really Sarah before her, brought in Hagar as there was a Pelegish, but in a similar way that they when they were able to have children, they gave their maidservant or they gave someone else to be their husband's wife. Rachel gave Yaakov Villa. So in the same way, in a similar way, Chana was the first wife of Elkanah, and when she was unable to have children, she said, why don't you marry Penina and have children? And the Medrash says that was, she did that as a merit for herself to have children, and indeed, the Medrash says that from that she was Zocha, she married to have children. The Malbim is Medayik, the Malbim says over here on this pasuk that it says Shem Achas, the name of one was Chana, the Shem Hashen is Penina, the name of the second one was Penina. It doesn't have the hey on the word Achas, it doesn't say Shem Ha Achas, the name of one, of the one was Chana, and the name of the second one was Penina. And the Malbim says that grammatically, that I'm not clear on this, but he says that to tell you that he married Chana first, and only afterwards married Penina. I guess if it would say the name of the one was this and the name of the other one was this, would imply that they were kind of equal, they were at the same time. But if it says the name of one, it's like the first one, was Chana, so Malbim is medayik this idea from the pasuk.
Why not Rishona?
What's that?
Why not?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I hear that. Now, at the end of this pasuk, it says, "And Penina had children, Ulechana Enyuadim, and Chana did not have children." Now, usually when we say that, if we want to say that, in the Torah, it says that he was barren, Akara. Why does it say, "And Chana did not have children," rather than say, "The Chana Akara and Chana was barren"? So the only thing I should offer is a very beautiful chat. The only thing I've just said that when Hannah gave Penina as a wife, so her intent was, like Rachel Imenu said, "Ulai ebone gam anochi mimena." I would build my family through her. That when Rachel Imenu gave her maidservant to Yaakov, she says, "Ulai ebone gam anochi mimena." I'll be able to build my family through my maidservant. Says the only thing I've said that. That was the intent of Chana as well. When she gave Penina to Elkanah, her intent was that she would build her family through Penina. But he says Penina was Tzvuya Tova. She was a denier of the good, and she made it as if that, you know, she totally ignored that idea, and she not only that, as we're going to see, she angers Chana, she seizes Chana, and she makes as if this wasn't in Chana's marriage at all, that Stephanina had children. Penina, by the way, had 10 children at this time. Penina had 10 children, and she totally ignored that the intent was that this would be a way of building Chana's family. She didn't consider them the children of Chana as she was supposed to. And that, says Ramin, that's what the pasuk is saying. Penina had children and Chana did not have children. Even though Penina's children were supposed to be Chana's children, she was going to build her family through Penina, but Penina ignored that. Penina didn't follow through with that, and instead Penina treated them only as her own children and not as Chana's children. And that's what it's saying, that Penina had children and Chana did not have any children. That's why instead of saying that Chana was Akara, that Chana was barren, it says that Chana did not have any children.
I didn't get to remind you finally.
What?
I didn't get to remind you finally about it.
About this?
Yeah, that they were Gilgulam of Lema from his wife.
Yeah, I saw that brought down. I didn't have a chance to go through it carefully to understand it, but okay.
Go back and look how many children were not bad.
Right.
Okay.
I'll see you later. Plus a gimel.
Going to be here next week.
There should be. Pasuk Gimel. The Allah ha'ishahu me'iro miyamim yamima. So we read this before. This man would go up from his city miyamim yamima. So I mentioned that there are different approaches to what that means. The Radak says that it meant from year to year, seemingly only once a year. And Rashi says that it means that he went up Mimoed Limoed from one holiday to the next, seemingly every single one of the Shalosh Regalim. Now, it's interesting. It raises an interesting question. Was it once a year? Or was it every holiday? The difference, the Nafka Mina, the practical difference would be, was there a mitzvah to the Ola L'Regel during the time of the Mishkan? Meaning during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so we have a mitzvah to go up to Yerushalayim at the Shalosh Regalim. Each one, all three. Was there the same mitzvah to go up to Shiloh, to the Mishkan? So I've been talking with the Medrash, that Elkanah would bring everyone as if there was a mitzvah. It could be that there wasn't a mitzvah, and that's why they generally weren't going, and he was encouraging them to come anyway, but they weren't mechuyah perhaps, there perhaps wasn't an obligation, and he was coming to tell them, no, let's go anyways, you know, we don't need obligations, we should still go. But even then, the Radak saying, he only went up seemingly once a year. And Barashi saying, Nimoed Lemoed, every holiday, every one of the Shalosh Regalim. And he went Lishachavos to bow, Vilislach Hashem Tzavakos to Shiloh, and to serve, bring karbonos to Hashem in Shiloh. And right. We'll have to get back if we're going to discuss whether why it mentions here, we may discuss why it mentions here that there were two Bnei Eli, Chofni and Pinchas, who were the Kohanim. And we're going to see later that Chofni and Pinchas weren't exactly the straightest, you know, most, the biggest tzaddikim. They were the Kohanim at the time, the sons of Eli, but they weren't the most upstanding individuals, as we'll discuss at some point. So it's noteworthy that the Pasuk is telling you, and by the way, they were the Kohanim at the time. The Pasuk is trying to tell us something, but we'll have to, I guess, save that idea for another time. I'll hold it here. All right.